Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I'm excited about our guest today. I have Empress with me today. And at just 4 years old, Empress's life was changed when her hands touched the black and white keys on a keyboard for the very first time. Her love for music evolved into a career as a professional dancer, and she became one of the youngest members of the San Francisco Ballet. As her talents developed, Empress moved to New York City, where she performed on Broadway as the lead in the Tony Award-winning production of American in Paris. Today, her career comes full circle as she prepares to release her debut EP, We Own This Crown, in spring of 2021. It is my pleasure to welcome Empress to our show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Belinda.
Well, I just can't wait to dive in here. We learned a little bit of your journey, but just fill in maybe a little bit of the gaps and, you know, take a little bit of time to tell us what that was like to be the youngest person in the San Francisco Ballet, and then tell us about being on Broadway. So that's what I'm going to do. Since we already know a little bit of the journey, let's just dive into that journey.
Yeah, I love it. That sounds great. Yeah, so I am a singer-songwriter as Empress, and my journey with music and my love for music started at a very young age. I was like 4 or 5 when I started, you know, playing on the piano and making up my own music and kind of, I don't know, I definitely had a deep love for music to the point where I would dance to it, I would sing to it, I would move, you know, just composing was kind of like always in my head. I recently heard a story about Tchaikovsky, how he would cry himself to sleep because quote, the music won't get out of my head, like it won't stop. And that's kind of the first time, I mean, I could really relate to something that, I mean, it's Tchaikovsky, so it's genius, right? But I'm not comparing myself to him. But I definitely, as a kid, I thought that everyone had music in their head all the time. And so that was kind of something that clicked with me recently. I was like, oh yeah, that is exactly how it feels. It feels like you can't make it stop. And I loved it. So it wasn't like I was crying about it. But so I started dancing at a pretty young age, and I was in a small town. It's in Lake Tahoe, California. And I don't know, there's sometimes I think, you know, where things are just written in the stars, and dancing and music was obviously written in the stars for me, because there's really no formal training in Lake Tahoe for ballerinas. And I think I'm the only one that has ever come out of Lake Tahoe to become a professional ballerina. And to do it at such a young age, you know, looking back, it's been many, you know, many moons since I joined the company. And San Francisco Ballet was my dream company. And everything fell into place the way it was supposed to. And I had no idea, like, you know, my mom and I had no idea what we were doing when it comes to, you know, there was no plan. It just sort of happened. So for instance, I was told by a teacher in Tahoe to go an audition for a summer intensive, which I did. I was like 13. And she kept telling me, you know, she's a big fish in a little pond and she needs to go into the ocean. You know, there was that whole time is now, you have to try to, you know, go somewhere else. I ended up getting a full merit scholarship. Like there, I had no idea. I really, when I went to that audition, I was so nervous. There was all these girls that had been, you know, in the school for, you know, a number of years, and they were lifting their legs behind their ears and, you know, like turning like tops, and they had the most amazing wardrobes and things. And I was just, I mean, like I showed up eating In-N-Out Burger with my hair was all over the place. And, you know, I remember this little girl got out of a car in front of me right before this audition, and she had like matching lip gloss with her ballet slippers, and you know, her hair was like glued to her head. I looked at my mom with like a milkshake in my hand and a hamburger in the other, and my hair was all frizzy, and I was like, do you have any hairspray? Like, I feel like this is not very professional. So I ended up getting a full merit scholarship to go to the San Francisco Ballet School Summer Intensive, which turned into it's basically like a 5-week long audition. I ended up getting an invitation to come back for the year-round program. I'm 14 at this point. And so my parents were like, oh my God, are we going to let our daughter move to the city? This is crazy. I ended up moving in with my grandparents, who were an hour and a half away, and commuting 3 hours a day. I was homeschooled, doing my homeschool in the morning on the train, you know, when I get home, and training at the San Francisco Ballet for a full year. And I ended up getting a contract. I moved up like three levels in a year. I mean, I was like it was the opposite of the tortoise and the hare. I was the hare that actually won the first leg of the race. I was just working so hard because I was so far behind all these girls who had been in the company or in the school, you know, for 10 years plus. And it was insane. It was a lot of work, but I was like such a dry sponge, just absorbing so much. And I ended up getting a job in the company, which was like my dream. Like, let's talk about dream jobs. That was when I was 7 years old, I wanted to be a ballerina. And so to realize that dream at 16 years old and be in this big ballet company, it was really life-changing and really definitely made me believe in dreaming and setting goals for yourself. So flash forward to that. Then 11 years after I had joined the company, I ended up kind of deciding that I needed to transition somehow. It was a long time to be in one company. And I felt like it was time for me to move on and dream bigger this time. And I wanted to go to Broadway. And it just happened. It was amazing. This choreographer that I had worked with for the entire 11 years that I was in the company, Christopher Wheeldon, he was casting a show on Broadway. He was going to choreograph and direct the show called An American in Paris. And so this is actually really cool. The through line is that in the ballet is where I ended up finding my singing voice. I'd always had this connection with piano music and composing and stuff, but I'd never sung before. And there was a ballet called West Side Story Suite where I had to sing in front of, you know, an opera house, which is 3,500 people. So I'd never sung Happy Birthday in public before, let alone sing in front of that many people. And my parents, you know, they'll tell you they didn't tell a soul that I was their daughter, because they had no idea how it was going to be until I got a standing ovation, and then they're, you know, elbowing everyone. Hey, that's my daughter. That's my daughter. So that was I don't know. I was 18 or 19 when I sang for the first time, and that opened up a whole can of worms. And Christopher Wheeldon was in the audience the night I sang, and so when I was transitioning out of ballet and I was trying to figure out what was next, and I really wanted to be on Broadway, I had no idea how to get there. Christopher Wheeldon remembered that I could sing and asked me to be in the show. And so it was this whole, I mean, like the stars aligned thing, right? I mean, and also me dreaming and wanting this to happen for a while, and then just having it happen so effortlessly. I really didn't have to audition that. I mean, I say my audition was actually 11 years, but it was a really cool transition, and that opened up a whole new world of expressing yourself as an artist with music and lyrics and lines and words and all the things that I didn't do, because ballet is very much seen and not heard. And, you know, we mime everything essentially, except for that one ballet, the random fluke ballet, the West Side Story Suite, where you had to sing. But mostly my world was silent. And then I go to New York, and not only is New York a loud place, Broadway is like the loudest place. So I always joke that I joined the Broadway world, and now I can't shut up, because that's just what I want to do. So
now, did you do more Broadway shows after American in Paris? Yeah.
I did. I did a pre-Broadway run with this show called Roman Holiday, that still has yet to see the Broadway lights. It needed a lot of work. We did like this pre-run actually in San Francisco, which was really cool. And then I did another show called Brigadoon, and that was a city center production, which is basically they do it once a year. They get these big stars to come and perform for the gala for the city center in New York. And I was in that as well. And then, you know, something clicked for me as an artist. I had started diving into, or like, you know, overlapping with my music. I started sharing music with a few of the dancers and actors on Broadway, and they gave me the courage to start sharing it more and more. And then it became this thing where I was so fulfilled as an artist to be able to express myself with you know, and with my lyrics and music, and being able to kind of create this whole new world for myself, which is kind of how I came into the stage name Empress, which I know is like a pink elephant in the room. Empress was never meant for, you know, ruling over someone. It was essentially me kind of coming into my own as an artist and kind of learning how to be the ruler over my own life and the creator of my own happiness, and trying to inspire others to, you know, to do the same and to become the ruler over your own life. And for me as an artist, you know, I've danced so many ballets. I've done, you know, other people's choreography. I've worn other people's costumes. I've sung other people's songs. And it was time for me as an artist to kind of get in the driver's seat and pave my own path. And so that's like the transition for me for music was, you know, it wouldn't have happened if the stars had to align the right way. I had to be a ballerina first and then go to Broadway and then become this singer-songwriter. It, you know, it all had to happen that way. But now, yeah, I'm just like really, really grateful to be mixing metaphors, but the painter, the canvas, and the paint, you know? So it's been a really powerful experience for me as an artist.
That's awesome. That's an awesome story. I love that. I'm glad that you shared all of that because, you know, it is a journey. Life is a journey, and the different things that we do, they lead us to that next step. And that's exactly sort of what happened with you. And I think that's amazing. And I think people have to be open for that. There would have been people that would have said, oh, I'm not going to do Broadway. I'm a dancer, you know?
Right, exactly. Well,
and they close their minds off to that.
Yeah.
It is scary to change. So good for you. So tell us a little bit about how the business today has shaped your lifestyle.
Well, I have never had this much freedom. So this has been an interesting new chapter because it's sort of, you know, when you're part of a herd, you kind of go wherever everyone else is going, and kind of stepping outside of that, you realize, oh my gosh, there's no, you know, you can't point the finger outwardly anymore. It's all pointed back at you. If you're not happy with something, you can't blame it on anyone else. So actually taking that ownership has been really, it's a freeing experience, but it's also puts a lot more pressure on yourself. If you want something, you have to do it. You can't rely on someone else to do it for you. And I think that's true for everyone and everything. You know, in life in general, it's that you have to do it yourself, and kind of really being put in that, I've put myself in that position. And I think I wouldn't have been ready for it in any other way, but I love what I do so much that it doesn't feel like work. And so kind of being able to give myself that freedom and be able to handle it at the same time has been really, really fulfilling for me.
Great. I've got a question here for you that's not part of our pre-interview, but the hardest thing for a lot of people, so I'm curious on your answer on this, and because I've coached people in this, that had a very structured lifestyle. And I know exactly, my daughter's been in theater she's got a very, you know, our schedules are always extremely structured. Right. There is rehearsal, there is shows. You're always being told from point A to point B to point C. You know, it's a constant, more so it's scheduled than many other people's lives, even with a regular full-time job.
Yeah.
And So how do you go from being so structured, so scheduled for the most of your life into having this freedom? What challenges did you have with managing your time?
Well, yeah, that is such a great question, because it is. It's such a challenge kind of learning how you work and when you work. And it's like the self-discovery process, because I've been so structured my whole life. I didn't really have, you know, in the ballet, they give you a very short notice on your rehearsal schedule. I mean, it's like a day and a half in advance. You really can't plan your life more than a day and a half out. And going from that to all of a sudden being in control of every part and every aspect, it's like, you know, you kind of go through the phase of like the, I'm going to sleep in today. And then like you do that a couple days in a row and you're like, oh, this feels like this could become a habit, you know, like not a good habit. And then you kind of have to start figuring out when you work the best. When do I, you know, when do I have my creativity flow? You know, is it at night? Is it in the morning? And you start testing yourself, and do I work better with people? Do I need to have more of a team, or do I do it better without a team? You kind of go through this. I mean, well, I'm saying this about myself, but I went through a few phases of like, okay, well, I think I work really well late at night, and I do, but then I don't feel good the next morning. So then I need to find a balance there. Okay, well, can I force myself to work better in the morning? No, I really still don't work well in the morning, because the show that the schedule, especially like on Broadway where you have 8 shows a week, your body changes, like the way that you know would normally be, it can't be like that. Like you have to be on at whatever time the show starts. I mean, you have to be like 7 p.m. is when I would wake up. I mean, it was like, and the show is 3 hours, and you know, I have to be on for 3 hours, and then your body kind of is still stimulated, so you stay up pretty late. Like on Broadway, I was really on this weird schedule because I was forced to, in a way. And so coming off of that was really, really intense, because I felt like, first of all, you never ever, especially with our show, American in Paris was so physically demanding, and we had stairs that you have to get to the stage. So we had like, you know, 40 sets of stairs just to do your show. And that's a 3-hour show and costume changes and all these things. It was so physically exhausting that coming off of that show is like 6 months for me of just like being a zombie and sleeping a lot and, you know, like writing music kind of in between sleep. It was definitely a weird time for me, and figuring out like a new schedule to eat, because I really couldn't eat that much before the show. So like all day I wouldn't really eat, and then I'd have this really late meal. And I'd be starving. And so that wasn't healthy. So kind of coming off of that and figuring out what works for me, and also what works for my husband and I, you know, like I can't stay up late. He likes to go to bed early. So then when are we going to see each other? Never, you know, so there's so many things that come into play with that. But for me anyway, it's about learning yourself and really listening to yourself. What do I need? When do I need it? And how can I get everything done in a day that I need to get done, and like setting goals. And I have so many post-its around here that, you know, I was like, okay, this is my today list. This is my to-do list. This is my whatever, you know, week list. This is my month list. This is my 10-year goal. This is my, you know, I have so many goals and lists and things around here. I'm really, if I can see it on paper, then I feel like I can get it done. And it feels so good when you can kind of cross it off and crumble that paper up and throw it away. Done, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if I answered any of that, but it's been a process. Let me just put it that way.
Awesome. This is awesome. I'm loving this interview. So, which I have several other questions, and I'm like, should I skip a couple questions? But I'm going to let's power through them like quick. Okay.
Sure. That sounds great.
This one, it's one of my favorite questions. So I just, what have you identified sort of as your superpower, or, you know, your greatest skill sets in helping you be successful through this whole journey?
I would say dreaming. I'm really good at dreaming. And as I get, you know, more experience, I feel like I take that little 7-year-old in me that wanted to be a ballerina and just kind of being very vague about it. And I now know a lot more about, you know, what actually went into becoming that. I can take that formula and apply it to anything in my life. And so I think constantly asking myself if I'm dreaming big enough is the new addition to dreaming big. And that's, I think that's one of my superpowers, is dreaming, for sure.
I love that. And I don't think people allow themselves to dream big enough.
Yeah, it's scary because you can't be humble when you're dreaming bigger and bigger.
Right.
You know, like you have to set that part that of yourself that is always telling you, hey, you can't be braggy. You can't, you know, but no, when you're dreaming, it's you and your dreams. And if you're not dreaming big enough, then you'll never know if you, you know, could have done something XYZ. So anyway.
Okay. Greatest accomplishments. I think we've nailed several of them, but is there one that stands out?
The one that stands out for sure is being a ballerina. Like that to me, there was this one picture I saw when I was like, I think 12 years old, of this girl in the San Francisco Ballet, and she had joined the company at I think she was 17 when she joined, but so she had joined the company young, and she kind of looked like me. And I remember seeing this and kind of being like, oh my God, how am I going? Like, I want that. That's what I want to do. But then I remember the question of like, how is this gonna, it's not possible. You know, that kind of creeps in. When I joined the company, she had just retired, and that bar spot that she was at, in the photo, was up for grabs, and I had just joined the company. So I walked over and I grabbed that spot. You know, there's a lot of politics involved with where you warm up in the morning. Everyone has their spot. And so being a new girl, you're usually kicked in the back, but this, you know, is the cycle of life. She was out, I was in, and she was teaching ballet class that day. And I remember looking in the mirror in her bar spot, doing the same position of that photo, thinking, oh my God, I'm living my dream right now. Like, this is what I wanted. And I, you know, I was so proud of myself. So I think just that one moment that made me believe in myself even more, like, it, you know, to be able to dream and become, you know, the empress of my own life and all of this stuff. It started there. That little snapshot in my mind is something that I'm really proud of.
Awesome. That's a great story. I love that. So let's talk about the greatest challenge you faced through all of this.
Oh, gosh, there's so many. Ballet was so hard. I think ballet still to this day is going to be my biggest challenge. It was so mentally and physically exhausting. All the injuries. I had this one injury that was career-ending, quote-unquote, and it was you know, a horrible neck injury where I couldn't feel my hands. And they said, maybe if you stop dancing, you might have feeling in your hands again. You know, I was really upset by that. And I was like, I'm 24 years old. Like, I can't be retiring now. Like, this is, I just felt like, no, this is not what I dreamed of when I was 7, right? And I ended up finding like a mad scientist doctor who, you know, fixed me up. He used to work for NASA. And so he used to say, you know, the human body is the most fun machine to work on because it works with you. And so he fixed me up, and I had this newfound sense of, wow, okay, there's always a solution, right? Like when a doctor tells, multiple doctors tell you your career's over and then it's not, then essentially you're a miracle, but actually it just shows you that there's always a window. If all the doors are locked, there's always going to be a way through. And I, yeah, that was a huge challenge for me, was that, I mean, among many other things, but but yeah. that was a big one.
Yeah. So what does working from your happy place mean to you today?
Oh my gosh, today. Okay, this is going to be a nice little, I'll try and keep this short, but I was homeschooled when I was growing up, and we did this little homeschool, I don't know, promotion video. And I was asked a very similar question. What is your favorite part about doing, you know, school from home? And I said, I love doing homework in my PJs and like laying in bed and reading books and things. I would be like in my PJs. And today, like This is my favorite part about working from my happy place. My happy place is still in my pajamas, being able to work. And I now can do that. I've been writing a book. And so I write the book in my PJs, sometimes in bed, you know, or cuddled up on a couch with my songwriting partner slash book writer, book partner, book writing partner. I don't know how, I've never said that out loud, clearly. And it's, we do it in our PJs and it's like the best thing ever. So, you know, my childhood basically set me up for finding my happy place is actually just being in my PJs.
There you go. And what advice would you give to others right now wanting to sort of dream big?
Oh, I would say constantly add to and edit your dreams as you go, because your target is the most important part of dreaming big. And if you don't have a clear idea of what that target is, then you're never going to hit it. And so kind of really taking the time that you need to dream big. And then as you're going towards that target, you know, like constantly ask yourself, am I dreaming big enough? What exactly, you know, am I, you know, how does it change? It changes all the time for me anyway. And, you know, as I learn more, I can dream bigger. And so, you know, just constantly keep on asking yourself, you know, with what you know now, how would you dream differently? And keep kind of going towards that goal. Always have a goal or a dream, you know, to go towards, and you will find happiness.
Wow. That was so great. So let's come full circle to right now. So what are some exciting and new things you're working on right now that you think our listeners can benefit from?
Well, I am very excited to be releasing new music and videos. Kind of there's a steady stream. 2020 was the year of stockpiling really fun content that I just felt like it wasn't the right time or place to release anything last year. And so I just sort of created and held on to everything. And so this year I have a pretty steady stream of new music, remixes, music videos that I will be releasing every 2 to 3 weeks. And until my EP releases in, my debut EP releases in spring. I'm thinking May.
Perfect.
Yeah, very excited.
And what kind of music, what can we expect from that?
Oh, this is going to be mostly, for me, it's pop singer-songwriter genre. And then the remixes obviously are electric dance music, which is EDM. And that's like, it's super fun to dance mm-hmm. to. It's not too hard. It's not like we need a club, because we all know there's no clubs open right now. But it could be good for working out and, you know, it's fun stuff. Mm-hmm. But pop music is essentially what I do.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And where can our listeners find you?
Okay. Check out my website, which is www.empress-music.com. And you can find everything Empress there. And follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. My handle is @empress.music. And I will share all my new projects with you guys. And thank you so much for supporting me.
Yes, absolutely. And thanks so much for being a guest on our show today. This was a delightful interview. I've loved it so much. And
me too. I really enjoyed this.
I know. And I just think the biggest takeaway here for everyone, there were so many gold nuggets in here. And mm-hmm. so I really encourage our listeners to even go back and listen to it again, because there were so many one-liner gold nuggets that she just threw out. And I didn't want to interrupt her and say, oh, that was amazing, and here's why. But it was like, oh, my gosh, there were so many good ones. But the biggest takeaway out of this whole entire message, for me anyway, and I'm hoping that all of you will get that too, is that don't be afraid to dream big. Mm-hmm. And keep on dreaming. Like, you're never too old to have a new dream. Yeah. And I love that. And I love all of the things. She did some really great things on setting goals, and which I'm a huge advocate of, and mm-hmm. really staying clear about what it is that you want. And the other thing is work ethic. Like, you have to be willing to work really hard. There wasn't anything I know, just from what I know about the entertainment industry, there isn't anything in there that wasn't a lot of hard work and dedication and keeping at it. And then not, you know, I can just picture you getting out of that car with that burger and hair disheveled and seeing all these other people and suddenly being so intimidated by that. And yet you obviously didn't let that stop you. And I think we allow people to intimidate us and we compare ourselves to others and then we feel that we're not really worthy or up for it. So there's just so many great things in there. And I just hope our listeners will go back and listen to it again because I loved it.
Thank you so much, Linda.
Yeah, it's been a great interview. So thank you. And to all of our listeners, again, I'm recommending you go back, listen to it again, and then make sure you subscribe so you do not miss a single one of our awesome interviews. And please leave us a review. This was a great interview today. And not only does Empress appreciate it, but I appreciate it. It's good for the show. It's good for her. And it means a lot to both of us. So thank you so much for listening. And until next time, we'll see you on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.